Ladies and gentlemen, I've traveled over half our state to be here tonight. I couldn't get away sooner because my new well was coming in at Coyote Hills and I had to see about it. Ladies and gentlemen, if I say I'm an oil man, you will agree. I'm a family man. I run a family business. This is my son and my partner, H.W. Plainview.
You boys are a regular family business.
Now, you have a great chance here.
My son is a healer and a vessel for the Holy Spirit. He has a church.
And you will be cast up and thrust back to perdition.
I'm fixed, like no other company in this field. I have a string of tools ready to put to work. That's why I can guarantee to start drilling and to put up the cash to back my word. I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what the others promise to do, when it comes to the showdown, they won't be there.
There's a whole ocean of oil under our feet. No one can get at it except for me.
We'll offer $150,000 for full title.
When do we get our money, Daniel?
I look at people and I see nothing worth liking.
Don't bully me, Daniel, please!
I see the worst in people.
We have a sinner with us.
Get out of here, devil!
I have a competition in me. I want no one else to succeed. I can't keep doing this on my own. With these, people.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Classic Mischief. I'm your host, Chris Walton, with my co-host, Trevor. Trevor, how we doing?
Good, Chris. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Today, we'll be doing a little something different. Hopefully, we can do this maybe once a month or every other week. I'm going to call these episodes Movie Runs. And this podcast will be covering There Will Be Blood, Trevor.
Great movie.
It's a movie I've probably seen 8 or 9 times. Just like once I start it, there's like no way I can't finish it. How do you feel about it, Trevor?
You know, I think you definitely hands down like this, love this movie more than I do. I do think it's a good movie. I've only seen it about 3 times.
Yeah.
It's good. I like it. It's a great movie, but I got, there's a lot of good things about it, a lot of bad things about it, but yeah. That's all right.
I like it. Yeah, so we first saw this when we were at Mount Carmel.
That's right.
Well, at least you did. I saw it with my dad earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was our film class with Doc Barry.
Doc.
Maybe he's a listener.
We should send this to Doc. I bet he'd listen.
But yeah, Trevor, I mean, from the minute you start watching this film, it really takes you on an experience.
Yeah, definitely.
Opening. It's tense. It's tense right away.
Oh, my God, yeah.
There's no happiness or anything. It's tense. When you first start watching the movie, they zoom in on this mountain or whatever. The music is so loud, Trevor.
Yeah.
I mean, it just keeps turning. It just keeps getting louder. Like the I think I have to, like, turn the TV down. It's so loud. But it's not. It's just.
You remember those the movies like we were growing up and they had the like IMAX would make them and it was like the intro and it was like the volume just increased and it was like really deep and high pitched.
Yeah,
that's what it was like.
Yeah,
it was like, or
you would hear throughout the movie where it'd be like the dun 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 dun. Man, that just got my heart rate up every time I heard that. Anyways, I kind of want to do a summary of the movie, just kind of going into each scene and diving into, like, just kind of know what the characters were thinking and then, you know, our opinions on each scene. So if you haven't seen the movie, first, you see Daniel working in kind of this quarry or
in the mountains.
Mine, yeah, kind of. And he's looking for oil.
He's looking for gold. In the opening scene.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is. He's mining for gold. He's got that pickaxe and he's hitting through the walls, and he gets the gold, takes it to the shop so they could liquefy it, and he could buy stuff to oil rig.
I don't know about that.
Watched it last night. I'm telling you.
Okay. You actually might be right in that. Man, I'm forgetting. I feel bad. I should know better.
It's your movie, Chris.
I know. So then he starts working at the oil rig after that payment, right? After he gets the gold. And it's all going well and good. But then one of his workers dies. And he has a son that he left, the worker's son. And what do you think? I guess you could say he adopted him. There wasn't really any papers or anything. He just kind of took him.
So it's funny that you bring that up, because I was genuinely curious. I was like, so what do you think he told the kid? Like, that he was just his dad and his mom? Because I remember, you know, later on in the scene, you know, when they're introducing HB, that's the kid.
HW.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. And he said, yeah, the mother passed away while giving birth. I wonder if he just played along with that with the kid, you know?
Right.
But no, I think he just kind of took him. I mean, back in the day, there wasn't really an adoption process.
Yeah.
No one's really going to know. So I think he kind of just took him.
And then from day one, he was putting a whiskey in the milk. Like, even when he was a child. That's that was awesome. Terrible.
No, that's how it was, man. Alcohol was the cure.
Yeah, so he becomes very successful with this, and he starts opening up oil rigs. You know, they say he uses HW later. Obviously, we'll talk about later in the movie, but they say they use him because he's got a good face or whatever, or because he's a kid. That helps business because they think it's a family business. But I don't think that's the reason why he picked up HW. I thought it was because he felt for the guy who died. What do you think about that, Trevor?
I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one, Chris. Okay. I think he totally took HW, whatever his name is, under his own, just HW, so that way he could look better. It's a business. Daniel's a businessman. He wants to do whatever it takes to make money, and adding that innocence, that sense of family to the business makes people feel comfortable, especially when you're trying to buy their land and kind of kick them off of it.
Yeah.
You got to be nice, and you got to be a salesman about it. And I think adding HW was a big thing about that. And also at the end of the movie, he says, when they get into it, HW and Daniel, you know, he didn't care about him and he never did and blah, blah, blah.
I genuinely think he did care about him.
You think so?
Yes.
Well, hey, man.
Not the way a normal parent obviously treats a child, but
true
in a different way.
He did abandon him.
Then there's an awesome scene, in the opening scene when he goes to a town, right, or like a town, like a town meeting, when he explains what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, with the oil and everything. I would like to play that really quick, Trevor, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
But yeah, I just loved it.
I do my own drilling. And the men that work for me, and they are men I know. I make it my business to be there and to see their work. I don't lose my tools in the hole and spend months fishing for them. I don't botch the cementing off and let water in the hole and ruin the whole lease. I'm a family man. I run a family business. This is my son and my partner, H.W. Plainview. We offer you the bond. A family that very few oil men can understand. I'm fixed like no other company in this field, and that's because my Coyote Hills well has just come in. I have a string of tools all ready to put to work. I can load a rig onto trucks and have them here in a week. I have business connections, so I can get the lumber for the derrick. Such things go by friendship in a rush like this. And this is why I can guarantee to start drilling and to put up the cash to back my word. I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what the others promise to do, when it comes to the showdown, they won't be there.
Yeah, so when he's like, I'm just an oil man or whatever, he's trying to, like, take away, you know, what his real purpose is. You know, I'm not like these bigger oil companies, you know, like Standard Oil or whatever. He's like, I'm just like this small company. You know what I'm talking about, Trevor?
Yeah, I mean, he's selling. I mean, he's making his sales pitch, and it's I mean, he's so good at acting, Daniel Day-Lewis, and especially the character in the movie, that how do you not believe him? You know? Right. I mean, I personally would have believed him if I was in the meeting. You know, I'd be like, yeah, let him in.
Yeah, he's like, you know, are you going to take, you know, the giant company, you know, or are you going to take like this small business that you would like supporting or whatever? And that's the way he explains it. He does it very well.
No, you're right. And he really did do a good job in that meeting. He sold it, and he sold it well. He really did.
Yeah. So then we get introduced to Paul Sunday, Trevor, after that scene. So Paul is Eli's brother of the Sunday Ranch. And anyway, so Paul comes into the meeting, and he tells Daniel, he's like, hey, I got some land. I'm willing to give it to you for, you know, a certain amount of money. You know, and what's his face? Daniel doesn't really see that right away.
Yeah.
You know, he wants the information. He doesn't want to pay this guy anything.
Yeah.
You know, I think Paul's a little bit smarter than that. He's like, hey, you know, I'm going to get some money out of that. And they eventually get the deal. And then you meet one of Daniel's side men. And he asks him, like, who are you? And he goes, I work for Mr. Plainview. I think that guy just was like such a badass.
Yeah, he was.
All the guys that work for Daniel are such badasses, like a leather skin. You know, they wear this black or gray clothing.
Yep.
It's really cool.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's just a really funny scene. And then at the end, you know, Daniel says to Paul, he's like, you know, if this land isn't true, if there's no oil there, I'm going to take more than my money back. I thought, yeah. I also want to play that scene too. I don't know why I like that scene. I don't know, Trevor. What do you think?
It's a good scene. It really sets the tone up for, you know, what else happens. Cause, you know, again, like you said, Paul and, Eli are brothers. Mm-hmm. So yeah, again, I know we're going to touch base on this, but when Eli approaches, Daniel, it's kind of like the same thing. It's like a shakedown kind of.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, but this was a much more calm shakedown.
Yeah.
You know, this was much more easier. He was charging, what, $500 in exchange? Like that, it's a lot different from what happens, but I'm sure we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Definitely. So after Paul gives Daniel this information, he decides to send up to the Boston Ranch, right? Is that what it is? Little Boston? Sorry, Little Boston.
Little Boston, yeah, Boston.
On the Sunday Ranch. And so they get to meet Eli for the first time. And so when they get to the Sunday Ranch, they don't say they're looking for oil. They say we're going to go quail hunting or whatever, or you know, we're going to be real quiet, you know, just shoot quail.
Yep.
You know, right away it shows how slimy and sneaky, you know, Daniel is.
I don't think it had anything to do with that though. I think it was just more along the lines of he wants to know what he's getting himself into. He doesn't want to make them known why he's there, because then they could do a multitude of things, jack up the price or, you know, do something. Because I don't know if this is true, but Paul didn't seem to, you know, he acted like he didn't know him when they came to the ranch, right?
You mean Eli?
Eli, that's right, Eli.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was just different. I don't think he had any ill intent behind it. I think he just wanted to see for himself.
Well, you know. Well, he said in the movie, you know, we'll be looking for quail prices, not oil prices.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's hoping that they don't know about the oil or whatever, that only Paul did, but I guess. And then eventually Eli, you know, at the table says, we have oil here. And then Daniel goes, oh, you have someone to drill for it?
Then he played it off.
Yeah. And then eventually they got somewhat of a decent deal, but then the deal ends up that Eli just wants money for his church.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He's a Puritan, right? So he just wanted $5,000 for his church. Anything you want to say about negotiation scene you want to talk about? I just love how, like anxious Daniel is. He's just trying to talk to Abel. and like yeah. Eli's like on the other side of the table, like talking for Abel, and he obviously knew he could take advantage of Abel, and he couldn't do that with Eli.
I mean, I truly don't like Eli.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to talk about this because he's just one of the most hated guys. It's so easy to hate Eli just by the way he talks and how he just puts his nose in everything and he gets upset about everything. But no, at the table, you know, Daniel was kind of saying like, Eli, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Abel. This has nothing to do with you. This has to do with your father, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Eli just wasn't budging. It really just was irritating. He's like, would you just let the man talk? Like, but again, that's just Eli. I mean, if you've seen the movie, you know that's how he rolls.
Right. So in the cut scenes, and you see Eli like preaching, it is the craziest thing ever. It's unlike anything you've ever seen, like a religious.
I haven't.
What's up?
I personally have never seen anything like that. I mean, I don't even know what to call it.
It's definitely a different way. It almost seems selfish, like he wanted to be the source of attention.
Yep, I agree. Like he's the center of attention.
Where, like in most religions, it's
they praise a god.
Yeah, they don't. They aren't.
They aren't the god.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's kind of what I saw from Eli.
That's that too.
But yeah, I mean, after that,
it was intense too. That opening church scene when I was like, oh my goodness.
Really
like,
intense church
scene. I was like, pipe down, Eli. I mean, relax. She's old. You can't get away your arthritis. It's not going away. I'm scientifically proven it's not going away.
I know. So yeah, then things start going well. Daniel pays him not the full amount they promised, but he does pay him to make some improvements on the church. And they start hiring people. You know, from the neighborhood and from Little Boston. But then I don't even know what to call it. I don't know the name of when it like when the oil shoots out of the ground like that. When they like hit like an air pressure in the earth. I don't know. You're smart, Trevor.
Like, did they hit a – so because I looked this up because I was like, how did just that happen? But so what I found out was that's called an air – it's basically what you just said. It's like an air bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And once that, because it, you know, it goes back and forth and it's rocking back and forth the drill and mm-hmm. it's puncturing the surface. So once it punctures that air bubble, it's like a rupture.
Okay.
So like, say you cut your vein and blood just starts gushing out. It's the same thing with oil. So once that air pocket explodes, all the oil will fall out because oil is pretty thick and dense. Yeah. So it follows the air out. And I thought like, man, that was impressive.
Yeah.
But I mean, that scene was pretty cool. And before we talk about that, I really want to talk about the big part about before it was the grand opening of the rig. You know,
totally forgot.
That was the grand opening. And, you know, Eli said, I want you to let me bless the rig so that way nothing bad happens and, you know, everybody's safe. But the way he said it was kind of in like an evil, conniving way, kind of like how, again, he wants to be that center of attention and he wants people to follow him. So when he said that, I was kind of irked a little bit, and so was Daniel. And then, I don't know if you want to finish the rest of this, Chris. I mean.
No, go ahead.
So, I mean, Daniel basically says, yeah, sure, you can do the blessing. You could say whatever you want. You know, this is a deal we made. You could preach and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So he gets to the front. It's him, Daniel, HW, and then Eli's in the front. And, what was Eli's sister's name?
Grace.
Great. Was it Grace?
I don't know.
Eli's little sister.
That's
all you gotta know. And they're all standing in front, and Daniel starts saying, I'm excited to be here, blah, blah, blah. And Daniel totally neglected Eli about the blessing, and Daniel did his own blessing. Mm-hmm. And they go up, and the rig starts the drill, and that was that. And I thought that as the scene ends, you know, people are walking away. The camera kind of honed in there for a little extra second.
Oh, definitely.
And I thought Eli was just going to stand there and not move.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was just going to sit there and kind of make that face like, oh, well, this is your funeral, which he kind of did.
Yeah.
But I thought he was going to stay, like, a little bit longer. But I thought that was pretty much, like, the rising action of the movie, you know?
A little bit, yeah.
What do you think about that scene, Chris?
Definitely. Well, I mean, completely disregarded. I mean, Eli came in to his office, like you said. He's like, I want to bless the well. And Daniel said, okay. And he didn't do any of that. And he brought his sister up and not him. And I just thought that was funny.
No, I thought that was hysterical. Kind of like a little F you, you know.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Even though Daniel is this terrible guy, you know, same with Eli, but Daniel is much more likable
than Eli.
Yeah. So you're kind of like, yeah, like, I'm glad he didn't bless the well or whatever.
I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. But Eli then says the reason, because we didn't mention this either, but someone died in the well, right?
That was a little bit after, but yes.
Yes.
After that scene, then, you know, this ripple effect of bad things start to happen to the rig.
Yeah.
You know, the air pocket, so all this oil rushed out.
Yeah.
And then a gentleman died. Something hit the drill. The drill bit fell on him while he was in the hole. And
yeah. I want to say that, like, that wasn't a blessing or whatever, because the well wasn't blessed. But, I mean, that happens all the time. Like in oil rigs back then, I mean, people died. It was just a brutal job.
They had no safety back then, man. Yeah. None of them were wearing PPE. They're just letting oil get on their skin, going
smoking cigarettes, no helmet on.
Like, you can't say it wasn't expected, but, you know, Daniel tried to cover it up, like, try to just get rid of the body.
It's right.
I think he should just came out and said, "Hey, a tragedy struck. You know, this happened. You know, we're very sorry to hear about his loss."
Mm-hmm.
Try to hide it. I mean, that just looks bad on you. Made him look even worse, you know?
Right. No, I agree. That was a crazy scene.
Yeah.
Anyways, but I want to get to the explosion.
Yes.
At the well, or what you mentioned earlier. And so it goes up. I mean, I'm like, well, that happens. I'm like, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's just wood that's burning. It's nothing crazy. But there was a victim, and that was HW.
HW, that's right.
He was, you know, he's just a kid. He doesn't know any better. He's on top of something.
He was just playing, I think. Like, just laying around.
He's just playing on top of the oil rig. And this explosion, I mean, comes right over him. And I can't imagine, the air pressure and how loud it was.
Oh, it blew him off.
Yeah. So
he took a trip.
So, he actually becomes deaf from that,
yeah,
which is very unfortunate, which is a very crazy sad. And, oh, it was a terrible.
You know, when you mentioned that, I'm starting to think back about the scene and how it was pretty emotional. And, you know, we were talking earlier about how Daniel didn't really care for HW. He was just using him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he was worried that he would be losing success now that HW is, you know, handicapped, or
yeah.
Was he genuinely concerned that, oh my God, my son, he's hurt.
And yeah.
What do? I can't figure out, like, what was true, or what statement's true. What do you think?
I don't know. But so after he was deaf, right. He looks at his buddy and he's looking at the fire, you know, and all the oil coming up. And then he goes, Daniel says, what's that look on your face? There's a whole ocean of oil under our feet. Before he says anything about his son, HW, and he's like celebrating with, you know, the guy that he works with when his son is literally on a table, you know, I don't know. Again, that's what I saw. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, what a terrible.
Does.
Yeah.
It's sad. You know, I mean,
you know, he doesn't care about HW, you know, the way a normal person operates,
a normal parent would.
Yeah. He's like, oh, we got a whole ocean of oil under our feet. Then he starts hugging and laughing with his buddy. They show up like the fire. That's a great shot. I wish I could show you guys that shot. That was a good shot.
That like the just the visual of the whole thing going up in flames,
yeah,
was powerful.
Really,
it was powerful, really was. Because it shows like how, yeah, it's destruction, you know, we lost an oil rig, blah blah blah. But shows them how much, like, I don't even know how to phrase this. Like, just like this, we've got this much to deal with. We have a lot of oil. Like, it's like a force to be reckoned with, kind of.
Right.
That's at least how I took it or saw it.
All right, I want to play the next scene. So the morning after, when Eli comes up to Daniel next to the oil rig, and then where he slaps him across the face. Do you remember the scene?
He gives him a little beating, doesn't he?
Yes, and I would like to play that scene for you, Trevor.
Yeah.
It's really good.
When do we get our money, Daniel?
Aren't you a healer and a vessel for the Holy Spirit? When are you coming over and make my son here again? Can't you do that?
Let me bless the world. It's happened.
Daniel, you should have done that.
You owe the church of the third revelation $5,000.
Oh, what a few rights we made.
Anyways, that's kind of the idea. And then he like throws mud on his face. Oh yeah, my goodness.
That was intense. That was pretty intense. He said, aren't you a vessel for the Holy Spirit? Yeah. That's awesome, man.
Such a good scene.
But I hope everyone heard like how Eli screams like a little girl.
Yeah.
And that kind of annoys the hell out of me. So I hope people kind of feel the same way about that.
Yeah.
God, he's annoying.
So then a day or two later, he goes, Daniel goes to this little house he has on the Sunday ranch, and he sees a man standing there, Trevor, by his house.
Yep.
Claiming to be his half-brother, Henry.
Fond du Lac.
Yeah. From our first introduction to Henry. Fortunately, it doesn't work out between the two.
No. That went south.
Henry's a good character too, though.
He's a leech.
Yeah, he's a leech, but I have a weird like suspicion that he kind of calmed down Daniel for the time period that they were together, and he thought he was his brother at least.
Well, think about it, the time period they were together was without HW because Daniel ended up abandoning HW on a train.
Well, he sent him off to get help.
That didn't work. But I mean, I feel like
he brought the person back with him.
The what?
He brought the
yeah, yeah, the guy brought him back. Yeah.
The hand specialist, you know, for deaf. Yeah. I don't know what that's called. Interpreter,
sign language interpreter.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cool that like for a brief moment we were like, oh my god, he has family. This would be nice. We could see, you know, that like a duo kind of thing. But yeah. Then you just found out that Henry actually wasn't his half-brother, and he was just a leech. He actually knew his real brother, who died in Vegas, I forget. But he knew...
It was Arizona.
And he died, so he just took his identity and was a leech.
Yeah.
You wanted to like him, but once you found out that he was...
Yeah. And HW knew, too, remember? Because he set his bed on fire?
Yep.
So HW knew, and then Daniel didn't like that. So Daniel ends up killing him. A very brutal scene. He holds his head down. That's hard to watch.
It kind of went silent, too.
Yeah.
So it went silent.
So he buries him on the bandage track, right?
Yeah.
And the next morning, he wakes up to Brandy right in his face, or Bandy, sorry.
Yeah.
And he says that you need to heal. You need to be saved or whatever. And he says, I'll let you run, you know, a pipeline through my, my acres, but you first have to go to church. Do you remember that scene, Trevor?
Yep. And that's when the big line comes out.
Yeah. And that's when you get to hear, you know, the famous, I've abandoned my child thing from everywhere, where he has to go see Eli.
Arguably his most famous movie line, Daniel Day-Lewis's.
One of the most famous
movie lines, ever. Period. You're right.
So here we go.
With us here who wishes for salvation, Daniel, are you a sinner?
Yes.
Oh, the Lord can hear you, Daniel. Say it to him. Go ahead and speak to him. It's all right.
Yes.
Down on your knees and to him. Look up
What do you want me to say?
Daniel, you've come here and you've brought good and wealth, but you have also brought your bad habits as a backslider. You've lusted after women, and you have abandoned your child. Your child that you raised, you have abandoned all because he was sick and you have sinned. So say it now. I am a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
Say it louder. I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
Louder, Daniel. I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
I am sorry, Lord.
I am sorry, Lord.
I want the blood.
I want the blood.
You have abandoned your child.
I've abandoned my child.
I will never backslide.
I will never backslide.
I was lost, but now I am found.
I was lost, but now I'm found.
I have abandoned my child. Say it. Say it.
I abandoned my child.
Say it louder. Say it louder.
I've abandoned my child. I've abandoned my child. I've abandoned my boy.
Beg for the blood.
Give me the blood, Lord, and let me get away.
Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
Get out of here, devil! Out, devil! Out, sin! Do you accept the church of the third revelation as your spiritual guide? Do you? Get out of here! Get out of here!
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's probably the best scene in the movie. It's got to be.
That is a crazy scene.
And you know what? We see a scene just like that later on in the movie too, which is the crazy part.
Definitely.
No, but I mean, damn, was that good? I mean, that if you could see Daniel Day-Lewis acting that scene, you'll be blown away.
Yeah.
Build it.
And that's like the part where like Eli really wants to embarrass Daniel.
Yes, intentionally. All through the blessing.
They're like this is about a spiritual thing. I'm like, no, this is all about Eli. This is all about, you know, him taking advantage of Daniel because of, you know, they obviously saw Dan or know about the Daniel murdered Henry or whoever that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it kind of skips after that. It skips to the future a little bit after that scene.
Yes.
Unless I'm wrong, unless there's a scene that I'm missing after that.
No, I think that was it. They just went to work on the pipeline then.
Yeah, they made the deal with Union, right?
Yep.
Then that good scene where they had the steak.
Oh, that was a great scene when they HW back.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, they had dinner at this nice restaurant and Standard Oil, which is, you know, a bigger oil business, sat down next to them. And he was just all in their face about it, if you want to talk about it, Trevor.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel and the guy from Union or not Union, whatever the other company was, they know each other. They I think Daniel tried to make a deal with him prior and it went south. And mind you, HW just got back. So Daniel takes HW out to this nice restaurant, orders them two steaks and a whiskey and some milk. And HW still can't hear. He's still deaf. And then these group of guys just walk in, talking loud, obnoxiously. Daniel sees them. They all greet Daniel, say hi. And the guy comes up and says, sorry about your son, and starts screaming in HW's ear, like kind of obnoxiously loud, as if he could hear him, and he couldn't. And then Daniel kind of gave him the fuck off look and he went back to his table. And then Daniel kept just making eye contact with them the whole time. He starts getting a little aggressive. The waiter didn't bring out their drinks. So he walks up to the bar, grabs his own drinks, and waiter's apologizing. And he goes back, sees that he kind of just let loose. He lost self-control and just said, I made this deal with Union Pacific, you know, building a pipeline, you know, millions of dollars, blah, blah, blah. And he's saying it obnoxiously loud so they could intentionally hear him.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, you know, it was pretty pretty aggressive, kind of childish. But yeah. You know what? I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah.
And kind of He was flexing.
Then he goes over to the table, right? He's like, I did what I said I would do, whatever. And then he's like, you don't talk about my son. My son's right over there. Really gets in their face. And at the end, he goes, sorry, gentlemen. He's like, sorry, gentlemen. Oh, you sorry, gentlemen, or whatever. That's such a good scene.
That was. It was kind of like, it was just a really good fuck you, you know? Like, hey, this is what I did. You guys suck. You know, I'm better than you all. Like, he really kind of just dropped his nuts in their mouth.
Yeah, but I felt like they didn't really care, like Standard Oil. You know?
I think they're kind of just like, is this guy done yet?
They're just like, whatever. Like, yeah,
he done yet? And fine.
There's like, Dan's like, you guys look like, so you look like a fool, don't you, or whatever. And the guy just sits there. He's like, yes, yeah, I look like a fool, or whatever. When obviously Dan looks like the fool, you know?
Was Daniel drunk?
Not really.
I didn't think he was, but, you know, he's an alcoholic, so, I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
But, no, that was a cool scene. I did like it. I was curious if steaks were going to be cooked, though. I don't know why. made me hungry.
Anyway, so after that scene, it skips to 1927, where you see Daniel in this giant house, you know. Man. And he said he wanted to get a giant house and move away from people. That's what he said.
Seclusion.
And that's what happened. So he's like shooting like a rifle in his own house, just shooting at random stuff.
Exactly. Like, it just, you could tell he's obviously done very well with the pipeline. The pipeline worked tremendously and he's living large. And then you see this nice big house. And then when he's in the hallway shooting at various objects, like, oh, maybe it's not all, you know, peaches and roses or whatever. He's in the house.
Right. He's just all alone in there.
And then HW walks in.
HW, this is a great scene.
Well, before that, HW actually got married to Eli's little sister.
Yeah, right. That's a good
one. So they get married, and then HW walks into the mansion, and I don't know if you want – you can talk.
No, go ahead. You can.
I mean, the scene was pretty powerful considering the fact that, you know, the movies kind of leaves you curious on whether or not Daniel did care about HW and vice versa. And HW requests for a meeting with Daniel and his interpreter and the friend that Eli or Daniel confides in, his business partner, asked him to leave. He left, and HW kind of just said, hey, I'm moving to Mexico with my wife. I'm going to start my own rig down there. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm leaving you. And I don't know. Did he live in California, Daniel?
Yeah.
Yeah. In California, he's going to Mexico and I'm leaving all your wealth. I don't want anything to do with you, basically. And Daniel says, like, so no invite to the wedding. Daniel didn't get invited to the wedding. You know, Daniel's obviously had a couple too many to drink. So he's a little drunk. So he's like, I didn't get invited to the wedding. So go screw yourself, blah, blah, blah. And
you're my competitor.
Yeah, now you're my competitor.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, it's not, HW saying, it's not like that. It doesn't have to be like that. I'm just want to do my own thing. I want to start a new life with my family and blah, blah, blah. And Daniel, again, just drunk, lets off a lot of stuff that probably wouldn't have been said. You know, how you were adopted. You know, you're not my real son. I used you for for business. I never cared about you, stuff like that. And he said, it was a really powerful part where Daniel says, tell me what you want. Tell me what you want to do.
Right.
HW, who's deaf, actually said, you know, I'm taking my wife and I'm moving to Mexico. He verbally said that. And that was like, whoa. Nice.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty powerful, that part.
Then he goes on to say that, you know, you're not my actual child. So HW did not know that he was an orphan.
Nope. That's
And that was huge, and I just felt so bad for HW. Oh, but then he hits him with the one-liner at the end. He's like, I'm so glad I have, you know, none of what's you. Or what is he saying? Sorry, I'm not.
It was. I'm so glad that I – it was something like – it was something like
– I don't have anything of you that's in me or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. Like, I'm not your true next of kin. Like, I have none of your bad blood into it.
I'm glad I have nothing in you or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. But
yeah, whatever.
Powerful, man. Powerful scene.
And
that's the last we see of HW.
Definitely. All right, guys, I want to get into this this last scene of the movie, the climax, Trevor, which is at the end. The climax is at the end of the movie.
It is.
You know, you're waiting to see blood, and you're soon to find out in this scene.
That we are.
So Eli comes to Daniel's house, which first is strange because I thought Eli had enough of Daniel. Yeah, you know, all that stuff. So Eli comes to Daniel and he needs help. He's like, you know, I need money, you know, for the church. Basically kind of hinting that he's in financial trouble. Don't you agree?
I agree.
And Daniel kind of picked up on that.
Yep. So go ahead.
How about you explain it, Trevor? You watch.
I mean, I really, you know, we were talking about earlier how, you know, the church scene with Daniel and Eli, and how Eli is saying, if you come to my church and you confess that you're a sinner and blah, 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 you do all those things, then you can build the pipeline through my land. He wasn't I wouldn't call it a threat. It was more of like, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back.
Yeah.
And basically, that's kind of what happens again. And Daniel, I think Daniel got the final laugh.
Definitely.
I think you'd agree with that. But Eli comes back. Daniel's passed out in his bowling room or bowling alleys.
Mm-hmm.
And he's obviously had a little too much to drink again. And Eli comes in and says, hey, Daniel, Great Depression. I want to say they're almost in the recession.
Yeah, around there.
So it's times are tough. And Eli keeps talking about how he's doing great things with his preaching. He's spreading the word on radio and doing all these great things. Eli's a big success. Then he asks Daniel for some money because Daniel obviously is loaded with the oil. Oil didn't go away.
Well, he asked him to invest in the oil, right? And the bandit track.
Again, he asked again, you're right, I have another spot if you want to hear it. Daniel listens to his proposal, and Daniel, they agree on certain terms. If Eli was to say that he's a false prophet, and what was the other part of that?
Daniel, God is a superstition.
Yes. So Eli had to say that, and then Daniel would go and drill into this area that Eli is proposing.
Yeah.
So Eli does it. He says the words, does what he's told to do. And then, and mind you, this is kind of the thing, my favorite part about the scene. Daniel's eating a steak. Already looks well done. It's probably dry. He's just eating it as Eli is just doing this, you know, confessing, and Daniel's saying, say it louder, like you're preaching to the congregation. And he keeps really grilling them. And then once Eli's, you know, broken down into tears and says all this stuff, Daniel says, we've already drilled there. Took all the oil out already.
Yeah.
And Eli just broke down. I mean, he was...
Trevor, I want to cut you off so we can play that scene for you.
Yeah, play it, please.
All right.
Those areas have been drilled. Yes, it's called drainage, Eli. See, I own everything around it, so of course I get what's underneath it.
But there are no derricks there. This is the bandy track. Do you understand?
Do you understand, Eli? That's more to the point. Do you understand? I drink your water. I drink it up. Every day, I drink the blood of lamb from Bandy's tract. You can sit down again. Desperate times.
I know.
I
need a friend.
Yes, of course you do.
I just said, I need help. I'm a sinner. I've let the devil grab hold of me in ways I never imagined. I'm so full of sin.
The Lord sometimes challenges us, doesn't he, Lord?
Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. Daniel, yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
He's completely failed to alert me to the recent panic in our economy. And this, I must have this. I must have this. My investments have... Daniel, I won't bore you, but if I could grab the Lord's hand for help, I would. But he does these things all the time, these mysteries that he presents. And while we wait for his word...
But you're not the chosen brother, Eli. It was Paul who was chosen. He found me and told me about your land, which is to fall.
Why are you talking about
I did what your brother
don't
couldn't.
Say
I
this
broke
to me.
You and I beat you. It was Paul who told me about you. He's the prophet. He's the smart one. He knew what was there, and he found me to take it out of the ground. You know what the funny thing is? Listen. I paid him $10,000 cash in hand. Just like that. He has his own company now. Prosperous little business, 3 wells producing, $5,000 a week. Stop crying, you sniveling ass. Stop your nonsense. You're just the afterbirth, Eli.
No.
Slithered out on your mother's filth.
No.
They should have put you in a glass jar on the mantelpiece. Where were you when Paul was suckling at his mother's teat? Where were you? Who was nursing you, poor Eli? One of Bandit's sounds. That land has been had. Nothing you can do about it. It's gone. It's had.
If you would just you take this lease, Daniel.
Drain it, Eli, you boy. Drain dry. I'm so sorry. If you have a milkshake, and I have a milkshake, and I have a straw, there it is. This is true, see. Watch it. My straw reaches across the room and starts to drink your milkshake. I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
Don't bully me, Daniel.
So then, obviously, later in that scene, he ends up killing him with the bowling pin, which is pretty funny.
And he, no mercy with the killing. He is pretty gruesome.
Yeah, Eli's like, I had this land for you. And this whole time, you know, Daniel's telling him to preach that he's not a prophet, and then God's a superstition. Daniel's got in the back of his mind that he's like, this. He's already got that land. The oil underneath, it soaks up everything.
Yep, Daniel claimed his territory.
Yeah. And that's why the title of that movie is so special. There'll Be Blood. Like, you're constantly looking for blood in this film, but you can't find any until the last scene.
Nope.
And it's just fantastic, Trevor.
Great ending.
There's always like opinions on whether it's a good or bad ending, or if it's satisfying or not satisfying. What is your take on the ending, Trevor? On how that ends up with Eli.
I hate Eli. I hope everybody knows that too. I think he got what he deserved.
Yeah.
Shit happens.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I would say that I knew from halfway through the movie that Daniel or Eli, one of them was going to die. At least that's what I thought when I first watched the movie.
Okay. I
was like, both these guys are crazy power. One of these guys are going to die because they just want to best each other. You know, because remember what he says in that final scene? I beat you, I beated you, or whatever, I bested you.
Yeah.
Before he says, I drank your milkshake, which is such a funny scene.
They totally pulled that out of his ass. I mean, I'll drink your milkshake? What the hell? That's awesome.
It's such a strange
It's so strange that it worked, and it was like, all right.
I know.
You win. That's good. That'll work.
Yeah. No. I kind of want to get into the meaning of this movie and how it relates today. This movie's so relevant to people in power along with politics. How do you feel about that, Trevor? Obviously, you know, this is a time, you know, when a lot of movies are coming out. Like, this movie had to compete with, like, No Country for Old Men. It was a strange time, you know.
So this movie came out in 2007. So this was when Daniel Day-Lewis was at his peak. Like, this was when he was, you know, one of the greatest actors in the world, still is. I think that the fact that it came out and, you know, he won the Oscar for it, and did so well for it, was pretty huge, considering the fact that when I watched the first time, I was like, huh, I didn't really think anything too much of it. But the more I talk about it, the more I think about it, that movie truly is powerful. And it honestly blew away any other movie that was nominated that year for awards.
Yeah.
So it's
all. No, I agree. Well, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say it blew it away. It didn't win because of No Country for Old Men.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Daniel Day-Lewis won the Oscar for this movie.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, yeah, of course he would. Yeah, it's his best work. Well, arguably his best work. You know, I don't know if you've seen the movie Lincoln. That's also, he's awesome
in that. He won an Oscar for that as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
So out of all the stuff I have down here, the meaning of the movie is for power, money, happiness, and religion. What do you think is your opinion, the meaning of this movie, or the point they're trying to get across?
I think that the meaning of this movie comes down from a greed standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Daniel was money hungry. Eli was hungry for followers. He was hungry for attention.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of it came down to selfishness, greed. So I think that's, and that again, that ties into power. So power is obviously the big one, but then, you know, the source of the power was money. They all wanted money. Mm. And then, well, money in their own sense, you know, Daniel wanted full on cash and Eli wanted more followers, which would create more revenue and blah, blah, blah for the church. So different money in their own senses, but, and then happiness. I'd say only one of them wanted happiness, which would have been Eli. I don't think Daniel really cared about being happy. He just wanted money, and he thought with money would come happiness, and that just didn't happen because he was an alcoholic. You know, he kind of pushed everyone else away, and no one really could tolerate him.
Yeah.
Eli probably wishes he had happiness, but he ended up just dying, so not happy. And religion, again, I think that only goes towards Eli.
Mm-hmm.
And not Daniel, because Daniel was, he didn't care about that stuff. He's denied God multiple times in the movie.
Well, that's why I think it has such meaning, is because I want to say that people today are like losing ethics, and they're kind of just taking in money and power over, you know, how values should be portrayed. And that's one of the main things that the movie that I really thought was interesting.
Oh, absolutely. People are neglecting their, I mean, it's whatever they want to believe. People can believe in whatever they want, but people are definitely not putting certain things before self-fulfillment. If that's right. Phrase. Yeah, no, you're right on that one. You're absolutely.
You know, you can tell throughout the film that Daniel is very self-centered, but the scene where he talks to his fake brother, Henry, and he's like, I have this competition in me. You know, I want no one else to succeed. Like, that's just, like, immoral and, like, not the right just not the right values, as we know.
No, he was thinking of the wrong thing.
Yeah. And that mindset that he has will never bring you happiness.
Ever. It will never work. Never.
Yeah.
Never. You're absolutely
right. You're, like, if you think, like, in your life that only if I succeed, everything's going to be fine. Like, if no one else succeeds and just I succeed, everything's going to be good.
I wish that was true.
That's not that's not how life works, and
not realistic.
And that's, I can say same thing for, you know, money.
Yeah.
You know, okay, good. I can say that Daniel, he was accomplished. Like, he had goals and he did it, you know. But the thing is that money can only bring so much. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
So that also was really, and like you said earlier, it's about the greed. And he wasn't really happy with where he was. He did have a giant house, no doubt, but
he was just never satisfied, you know.
It's a lot of house for just him, you know.
Very true.
There's a reason why HW at the end of the movie, you know, comes to him later and like, I'm gonna move away from you. So
he, you know, Daniel, you wanted to like him at the beginning of the movie, you wanted to root for him because he's trying to establish himself in the world, you know, with mm-hmm. money. You know, he's trying to build his own business with the oil.
Yeah, he didn't come from money. Like,
no, he worked.
He was a worker. He was a hard worker. Yeah.
So you really want to feel for him, you know, you really yeah. want to like him. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the movie, it's just like, man, you were just a money hungry beast. You were yeah. That's what he was at the end, a beast.
Yeah. It is just bad. And then I want to talk about Eli and his kind of power heavy. So I could say the same thing today where, you know, people think they're good, or they show that they're good because, you know, they're religious, or at least they just say they are, you know, and yeah. that makes them better than everyone else. And I just think that's totally false. Like,
I think it's false.
Like, you'll see stuff like on Instagram or Twitter where they post like an Easter tweet or like a Christmas something, like, you know, God is here or whatever.
They don't go to church.
When I know, like, they don't go to church.
Yeah.
Or they don't even have like the correct values.
I agree.
And they're using religion in the wrong way. Do you know what I mean by that, Trevor?
They use it for self, like, say, hey, you know what? I post this thing about Easter. So I did my Catholic duty of the
yeah,
year. Yeah, that you know, the my mom or my family likes to call them the heathens, the ones that go to church on Christmas Eve and Easter, and then that's it for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
they did their self goal.
But of the year. The thing is that, like, they're not just telling themselves; they're telling other people, like, "Hey,
exactly,
I'm doing it. Why aren't you doing it?" Or whatever.
Yeah, trying to be the. Inferior to other people when that's just not the case in point.
And that's not what faith is about. Like, so.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And then Eli, man, I want to talk about again how crazy he was preaching those people. Man, those are crazy scenes.
It was just so nuts. I was like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
I mean.
And then I want to talk about the only scene in the movie where Daniel actually likes someone. Like, I genuinely think he had. You probably don't remember it. It was a scene where he was getting off the train to Little Boston, and he ran into his buddy Gene.
Right, yeah.
And he was looking, you know, his buddy Gene was looking for oil. And he tells Gene, he's like, you know, I got this land here, look somewhere else, like trying to help him out.
Because
he knew he was similar to himself, you know, like a kind of not like he wasn't like Standard Oil or the bigger companies. He was like a
self-proclaimed.
Yeah. So, and that was the only time where I'm like, oh wow, I see a smile on Daniel's face. It actually looks like he's trying to help this guy.
Exactly. And it wasn't like a vengeful smile. It wasn't
you know
what I'm trying to say. It wasn't anything ill advised.
No, I know. And that was the only time he actually looked out for someone. Yep. Obviously there were times here or there where he looked out for HW, but obviously that's his son. It's a little different.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, he didn't even really look out for him.
Yeah. Is there anything that you didn't like about the movie, or overall you thought everything came together the right way?
I didn't really like how – I wish that the relationship with HW and Daniel came back together. I wish it mended. Okay. I wish it didn't just go away so abruptly. I liked HW.
Yeah, I thought his character for sure.
I thought his character could have done more.
Yeah.
And I think the only way it would have done more was if him and Daniel reconnected their relationship. But I mean, other than that, I think it was just a good movie. Great movie. in general?
This is just a thought, but I would have loved to see like a little clip of Paul like being successful. Obviously, we don't know. Daniel lied about that.
Yeah.
Like he, like, I mean, Paul isn't, he doesn't know anything about Paul. He's just like, oh, he has oils. No, he doesn't.
Nope.
I would like to see, anyways, just a Paul and Daniel scene, or I don't know, some sort of vengeful moment on Eli or something. That would have been cool to me.
No, now that you mentioned that, I that would be kind of cool. That'd actually be pretty cool.
Like you see Paul and Daniel like walking, like I don't know, on his backyard or something with the pool or something. I don't
like
know,
with a pipe in their mouth or like something cool like that. Yeah. No, that'd be pretty cool. I agree.
And then you just, or maybe they kill, I don't know, whatever. I would have liked that.
Where does this movie rank on your all-time list?
It's definitely top five for me.
Really? Okay. Okay.
Just there's so many like stellar scenes that I'm like, how could I not put this in the top five? Along with Daniel Day-Lewis being, you know, if not the best actor of all time, obviously up there, you know, he's top three actor for me of all time.
Yeah.
You know, with Leo and I can't even say, but,
Leo.
Yeah. So.
No, definitely. He really, what's the word? Now he knocked out of the park. Daniel Day-Lewis. Yeah. I think that in terms of casting, the casting was great. I think Paul Dano was the perfect guy for Levi or Eli. Yeah. I keep saying Levi. I don't know why. Because Paul Dano's a great actor. I love him and his other work. And I think Eli needed to have an actor with he could kind of hate, you know, like the kind of guy with a punchable face, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there has to be something unique to the character of Eli. And I think Paul Dano really had that uniqueness. And I think Daniel Day-Lewis's accent in the movie, it was like a proper sloppy English.
So good.
Great.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean,
I'm thirsty to be here.
Exactly. It sounded like if a proper Darth Vader. I don't even know if that makes sense.
I don't know about that, but
it's like not as like not as deep pitch, but like still proper enough.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I don't know. The casting really was great in that movie.
Yeah, I love the history as well.
Very accurate.
It shows, you know, after the gold rush in California, you know, how California became this, you know, such a populated state, and how California became so successful. You know, it was gold, then it was the oil.
Yep.
It also shows like how much land is in California. There's a ton of shots where it's just like a open field. And I just think when I think of California, I think of like San Diego and LA. I just think of cities and stuff. But
I think of like, you know, Southern California, like LA.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
But man, there's so much more.
Yeah. You're absolutely. Yeah,
a lot of land, desert, and all that kind of stuff.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Definitely.
I enjoyed it. I liked how they, some of the camera angles that they had were pretty cool.
Camera angles, fantastic.
Like the scenery, like at nighttime when the rig's burning, I thought that was kind of like it was the sunset's going down, but the rays just on fire.
Oh yeah, and that covers the sky.
Yeah, I was like, damn, that's pretty cool.
So the thing I liked about this, there's like no zoom in shots.
No,
there was no crazy like camera angles, like a camera's flipping upside down or something like
that. Yeah, not like Scorsese or you know, like Wes Anderson does with his movies.
Yeah. It was simple. But it caught the moment like so right, so like
it did the job.
When what's his face? Daniel's giving, you know, the speech, you know, I've abandoned my child, and it comes in close. And you see this, well, not close, but like you see the vein,
the redness, yeah.
And oh man,
it's powerful. So,
yeah,
there was a time and place for those kinds of things, and I think that the times that it did pop up, good times. Very good times.
Yeah, it really was.
Definitely
a 5-star movie for me. I probably watch this movie at least once a month.
Man.
Yeah, it's so good. If it's free on, you know, streaming, I will definitely watch it.
It's on Paramount. It was on Paramount Plus, I believe.
Okay.
I don't know what you watched it on, but I watched it on Paramount Plus.
I just rented it this last week just to watch it again.
You might as well just get the disc for it.
I might. You know, I might just get the disc.
If you're such an adamant fan about it.
It is good. So, yeah, I like this, Trevor. You know, movie run, you're definitely going to pick the next one.
Oh, I already did in my head.
Oh, okay. Can the listeners get a preview of what?
I'm thinking for the next, you know, movie we talk about is the upcoming Tarantino film, which is to be his last movie he's ever directed. And I want to talk about the just Quentin Tarantino and his movies and how they're all different, but with their own unique Tarantino spin on it. He's wrapping up his film career with one more movie, and I'm very curious to see how it's going to go. But I would really love to just talk about Quentin Tarantino, my favorite director.
Okay. I got you. Wait, so he's creating one more movie?
One more movie, and he's calling it quits after that.
Okay. Yeah, well, he's got a lot of good ones. So
he's only made 12 films, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Only 12, and they've all been consecutively good right after the other.
Yeah. What do you have a favorite Quentin Tarantino movie?
My favorite Quentin Tarantino movie's got to be Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
What?
And then Pulp Fiction.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow, I have some stuff to say about, because I have Inglourious Bastards and Django Unchained above both of those.
Inglourious Bastards is a close second with Pulp Fiction. It truly is. I love that. I love all of his work. Kill Bill, it's all right. It was all right.
Yeah.
It was all right. But everything else I love. Yeah, I even
like. I mean, I would take Reservoir Dogs over Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We
can talk about it more.
Next one's going to be interesting. You guys got to listen to it because Chris and I are going to be going at it.
Yeah. So what do you think? Something we should continue? A movie run? This segment episode?
Yeah. I'd love to do it. But, you know, the fans, let us know what you guys think. You know, DM us on Instagram, you know, classic_mischief. And we have a Twitter as well. Chris, what's that handle?
Oh, it's just Classic Mischief at Classic.
There you go.
Yeah.
So feel free to contact us. Let us know what you like. Improvements.
Yeah.
Constructive.
We were actually supposed to have a buddy of mine on the podcast today, but
we were, but unfortunately he ain't feeling so hot. But we're gonna have to try to get him back on.
Yeah. Or Trevor, if there's someone that you know that would like to be on, I would be totally up to it.
I do have a couple in mind. I do.
All right. I'm excited for next week's podcast for
sure. Me too. Well, you take care, Chris.
All right, man. I'll see you later. Hang in there.
Peace.